But back to dodos, my favourite. Who better to describe them than David Attenborough, who also reveals that penguins are actually Welsh.
The dodo is dead. Everyone knows that. But why? Because, fundamentally, it lost its powers of flight. Its ancestors, probably some kind of pigeon, arrived on the island of Mauritius in the Indian Ocean way back in evolutionary history. They were probably blown there by a storm. And it was a great place for a bird. There were no rats or foxes or cats or any other animal that might attack a bird. The island was big, 50 miles or so across, and well vegetated. So why bother to fly once you get to such a place? Flying is, after all, a very energy-consuming business. Indeed, it might have been better for them not to fly, for doing so might risk being blown away again by another storm. So the ancestral dodos didn't, generation after generation. And their wings, being no longer used, dwindled in size and ultimately became so small that they would no longer lift the birds into the air. Pigeons eat all kinds of things, and there was plenty of food on Mauritius for them, fruit, leaves, shellfish on the seashore. At any rate, the dodos grew very big, even bigger than turkeys, and much the same shape, and fat. And then, sometime around the last years of the 16th century, men in sailing ships arrived, Dutch, Arab and Portuguese. The dodos, big, fat and flightless, were defenceless. The sailors, after weeks and months at sea, were hungry, desperate for fresh food, for fresh meat. And the dodos, not only flightless but guileless and inquisitive from all accounts, didn't even flee. It was only too easy for the sailors to club them to death. And that, it seems, was why the men called the birds dodo, because in Portuguese that means stupid. Humans also began to settle on Mauritius, and with them came rats and cats and pigs and monkeys. Some 40 years after the island's discovery, the inoffensive flightless dodo really was dead. We can't be sure of the exact date that the last one died, but certainly by 1690 they'd all gone. Few physical fragments of their bodies remained to prove that they had once existed. The last stuffed specimen was held by the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford, but by the middle of the 19th century it had become so decayed and tattered that the museum authorities decided it should be burnt. And all that survives today are bits of its head and its right foot, rescued from the flames by one of the museum's curators. That history has been repeated many times. Birds fly to a remote island, colonise it, lose their powers of flight, and when the world catches up with them, become extinct. Cliffs surrounding islands in the northern seas around both America and Europe are still thronged with seabirds, razorbills, fulmars and guillemots. But once, on the more inaccessible islets around Iceland and Newfoundland, Greenland, Ireland and Scotland, on cliffs that were very difficult for man or animal to reach, there were some birds that were bigger than all of those others that survive today. They were great auks. They too, in isolation, had lost the powers of flight and used their wings only in swimming. They stood 2.5 feet high, larger versions than their cousins, the razorbills, which still retained the ability to fly, albeit not very powerfully. On Funk Island, off the coast of Newfoundland, there was an immense colony of these huge flightless seabirds, at least 100,000 pairs of them. There, every summer, men went out to slaughter the birds in thousands for the sake of their flesh and the rich oil that they accumulated in their bodies just beneath the skin. And once again, the species had no defence. One by one, the colonies disappeared. Those around the Orkney Islands and St Kilda in the far north of Scotland survived longer than most, but by the middle of the 19th century, they too had all virtually gone. In 1840, three fishermen from St Kilda were stranded by bad weather on Stac an Amin, a tiny rocky islet just off the main island. There, on a ledge, to their astonishment, they came face to face with a strange giant bird of a kind they'd never seen before. It was a living great auk. They caught it by the throat, tied up its legs with a rope, and took it back to the little stone body where they were sheltering. The bird struggled so powerfully that it almost succeeded in cutting the rope with its bill. That night, the weather worsened and a great storm blew up. As the wind lashed the little shelter, the bird began to shriek and the men became convinced that it was a witch that had brought the storm. Terrified, they tried to kill it by beating it with two large stones. It was an hour before the bird died. The men then threw the battered body behind the shelter, and the storm subsided. That was probably the last great auk in Britain. Elsewhere, in remote islands, the bird managed to survive, but not for much longer. Another was killed on the tiny Icelandic island of Elde between the 2nd and 5th of June 1844, and by 1855 the species was certainly totally extinct. The name Great Auk, it seems, was a comparatively recent one. In earlier century, people called the birds, believe it or not, penguins. The origin of that name is debatable, but one explanation is that it comes from two Welsh words, pen meaning head and gwyn meaning white, for the great auk did indeed have a large white patch on both sides of its head, just in front of its beak. That certainly was the name by which it was known during the 16th and 17th centuries by British seafarers. During those years, and later in the 18th century, some of those men began to sail farther and farther south, beyond the southernmost tips of Africa and South America, and farther still to the ice-capped islands of the Antarctic, like South Georgia. And in all those places, they saw immense flocks of large, flightless birds with black coats, white chests, and wings reduced to flippers that they used when they were swimming. What other name would the seamen give them, except the one they used for a similar bird they knew well up north? They called them, of course, penguins. For some reason, we no longer use the name for those northern birds, even though they had it first. But it certainly stuck to those in the south. Antarctica, of course, is an island continent. Way back in geological time, when the dinosaurs dominated the lands of the Earth, it, together with South America and Africa, was part of a great supercontinent. Eventually, that broke up and the fragments we know today as continents drifted apart. Antarctica slowly moved towards the southern end of the globe and became so cold that an ice cap developed over virtually all of it. But its coast and the ice shelves that extended from them across the surface of the sea offered a valuable place where seabirds could settle with safety when the time of the year came for them to lay their eggs. Up in the north, the lands of Europe, Asia and North America extend from the warm south where it never freezes even in the depth of winter, up beyond the Arctic Circle. So every summer, when birds breed, land-living predators, foxes, wolves, bears, can travel north and raid the breeding colonies. So there, the ability to fly remains essential for birds. But that was not so in the Antarctic, an immense land isolated from all others by the surrounding seas that are the roughest on the globe. So here was an island, but an immensely large one. And once again, the evolutionary story repeated itself. Seabirds that once flew now had land on which to build their nests and lay their eggs, land that was safe and free from land predators. So why fly? And the ancestral penguins, which were probably closely related to albatross-like birds, also lost their ability to do so. And then, a mere 200 years ago, human beings caught up with them as well. We are now going there more and more frequently and in greater and greater numbers. The penguin colonies of the Antarctic are some of the most spectacular sights in the natural world. Will this story of flightless birds end in the same way? Perhaps this time we might take a lesson from history.
David Attenborough.